What exactly are the Buffalo Bills getting in Connor McGovern? Well, I studied his tape, and I'm ready to talk about it today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino, author of Go Bills and Buffalo's Run, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. Happy whatever day you're listening to this, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder to you, we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Well, folks, I did the film study on Connor McGovern, and I'm ready to talk all about his skill set from an informed perspective here on the podcast. We're also going to talk about the Bills re-signing Tyrell Dotson. Marcus Mosher from Locked On Cowboys is going to stop by later on to give us his opinions about McGovern and his fit with the Bills. And I also want to kind of talk about some personal news in addition to what I'm paying attention to next here in the NFL legal tampering period. Real quick, a note that is necessary this time of year. I am recording this podcast on Tuesday, March 14th at 4:15 p.m. Eastern time. So if anything happens after that, we're not going to know about it. And so it's not covered on this podcast. We'll get to that in the next one. All right, let's talk about Connor McGovern, the Bills' newest offensive lineman. And I'm going to present him to you like I would a group, right? I've done a lot of player presentations throughout my career, and I'm going to treat this just like I'm presenting a player that I scouted for everyone to be aware of what they bring to the table. So that's the way we're going to do this. So here we go. Connor McGovern, verified measurements, 6053, which is 6'5 3/8", 308 pounds, 34 1/8 inch arms, 7 3/8 inch hands, 82 inch wingspan. His height, arm length, and wingspan are all in the 84th or higher percentile for offensive guards in the NFL. So he's got good size. He's also extremely athletic. 112-inch broad jump, that's 94th percentile. 7.66 3 cone is 71st percentile. And this one I really like. His short shuttle is 4.57 seconds, which is in the 85th percentile. He's 25 years old. He turns 26 in November and is entering his fifth NFL season. To this point, he's played in 45 games with 29 starts. I watched four games, week 16. These are all 2022 games. Week 16 against the Eagles, week 12 against the Giants, the divisional playoff game against the 49ers, and the wild card game against the Buccaneers. I chose those games because they're two playoff games, obviously high stakes football games, and then the second divisional matchup against the Eagles and Giants, which both teams feature really, really good defensive linemen. So I got a chance to see him against Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams and Javon Hargrave and Linval Joseph, Eric Armstead, Vita Vea. A lot of good football players were seen competing against McGovern in my exposures to him this morning. Now, in general, the athleticism shows up. We talked about that already, just how athletic he is. High percentile in critical tests. You see that on tape. He's got really good range. He's got very good coordination, body control. He can really move. And whether that's laterally, whether that's longer pulls, getting to the second level, protecting his edges and pass protection, he's got good movement skills and range. So he's not just a good tester, but that shows up with functional athleticism on the football field. I'd also say generally he's a smart football player. There's good awareness. He executes with good timing. There's a good understanding of where the football is going and how he needs to execute to get the job done. So there's a good awareness and processing and football IQ here in this player. Now, as a pass blocker, this is where Connor McGovern is absolutely at his best. He's smooth and coordinated in pass protection. I like his overall control. He's not a guy that gets top heavy. He doesn't bend at the waist. He's grounded, which is a hallmark of what Aaron Cromer prefers. guys that are grounded, that can use the ground for leverage and stay in control, that don't rely on momentum. We have a guy here that, while he might not be the most powerful player, he does very well to stay in control, coordinated with good bend and overall body control and balance. In pass protection, he does a good job of protecting his edges and keeping his feet engaged. So when these defensive tackles want to try to work to his edges and soften that edge and get around him, he does a good job of keeping those feet in the ground, sliding, making sure that his top doesn't get over his skis, that he doesn't get fold at the waist, right, and really try to compensate for a guy trying to tack his edges. He does well to stay square, keep his feet engaged, and really protect his edges. I think he's got a stable anchor. That's one thing that I really appreciated about him. He's very capable in pass protection of absorbing that bull rush. You saw that quite a bit against Javon Hargrave, who certainly got the best of him at times, but I really appreciated when Hargrave wanted to straight up bull rush him. McGovern did a very good job of absorbing the power and then leveraging his hips to really hold his ground and maintain that depth of the pocket. Now, through that, he showcases good ability to recover. And even when it appears he might lose a rep in pass protection, I like his ability to trust his technique, to trust his set, get his hands on, leverage his hips, and give him a chance to win, even when he maybe doesn't land the first punch or he gets outreached or a guy's able to kind of soften him up a little bit. He's got good recoverability. Also, good eyes and awareness. A lot of the games that I watched him play, actually all but one, the defenses primarily ran odd fronts, so he was uncovered a ton, and I appreciated his ability to get his eyes in the right places when uncovered. Certainly, the Cowboys were challenged with a number of different pressure packages, especially against, you know, Wink Martindale with the Giants. The Cowboys were actually pretty creative with how they stunt. Excuse me, the Eagles were creative at times with how they like to run some stunts, and I thought he did a good job of responding with good awareness and his eyes in the right places when he's uncovered. So I think he's an above average pass blocker and a smart football player with good size and athleticism. Now here's where I won't have as many glowing things to say, and that's what he showcases as a run blocker. He's absolutely a positional blocker, a guy that finds success by getting his frame in good positions and trying to seal lanes. You will not confuse Connor McGovern as a people mover. When he has power stacked on top of him, if you ask him to roll his hips into contact, accelerate his feet, and create displacement, that's not really going to be in his wheelhouse. He's a positional blocker. And there's quite a few reps in my exposures to him where he was stood back up into gaps and, you know, not even sealing lanes. He was pushed back in and really made gaps disappear. He's not a super powerful, or he's not powerful at all in the run game. That definitely shows up. So positional blocker that really needs to take advantage of angles. You know, his best moments come where he could take advantage of alignment, right? And use those built-in angles to put himself in position to win. He's good at reach blocks, which is a testament to his movement skills and lateral mobility. He's very good on the move. His ability to execute blocks in space, whether that's longer pulls, climbing to the second level, he's a very good blocker that when you ask him to pull and get out in space, he's controlled and does well to connect with moving targets. But like I said, you just cannot count on him to create displacement. He's not moving bodies out of the way. I didn't really see that type of functional strength or that mean streak. You know, sometimes you talk about offensive linemen as maulers or road graders. He falls well short of earning those types of labels. So my prevailing thoughts here on Connor McGovern after studying his tape, I think he's a sufficient starter that is far from dominant overall, but I think he's an above-average pass blocker and a below-average run blocker. One thing that I will say is that I think his fit with the Buffalo Bills is going to be a lot better than with the Dallas Cowboys. The Bills will run the football a bit more out of spread formations. That will bake in some good angles for him that will take advantage of his movement skills a little bit more. Where in Dallas, it's a lot of power runs, heavy sets, and really asking him to move bodies out of the way to create gaps. And that's just not his strength. And so I don't think the way that Dallas ran their offense last year was a very good fit for his skill set, and I'm optimistic that the Bills will present a better opportunity for him to showcase the best parts of his game while also minimizing some of the concerns. So I think you have a sufficient starter. Don't expect him to be dominant, but I think he can provide adequate level of play. But, you know, I don't think this is a guy that you add into your lineup and all of a sudden you really feel like you got more physical. I don't feel like you became better in short yardage. I think that you did get more athletic. I think you got a big time upgrade in pass protection over Roger Saffold. I mean, a significant upgrade. So that's probably where I find the most excitement, where Roger Saffold was a below average run blocker last year. So we're kind of used to that. But where he really disappointed was in pass protection. And I think Connor McGovern can really elevate the pocket depth in front of Josh Allen to give him more opportunities with less pressure right in his face off the snap. So there you go. There's my take on Connor McGovern after studying his tape this morning to let you guys know how I feel. That was kind of a weird situation yesterday where, hey, I'm generally aware of this player, wasn't on my radar, but I got to be honest, I haven't studied him to really go in on the skill set. Well, I made the time to do that on Tuesday morning, and I wanted to share my thoughts with you today. In just a few minutes from now, I'm going to speak with Marcus Mosier of Locked On Cowboys. He'll add to the conversation and give us his insight on a player that he's very, very familiar with, having covered him with the Dallas Cowboys over the last several seasons. But before we get to that conversation with Marcus Mosier, I need to tell you about FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. I'm joined now by Marcus Mosier, the outstanding host of the Locked On Cowboys podcast. And one of my favorite things about being part of the Locked On Podcast Network is opportunities like this, where we have local experts on every team. And so Marcus is here to tell us all about new Buffalo Bills guard Connor McGovern, who obviously started his career with the Dallas Cowboys. Marcus, thanks for hopping in here with me today.
Yeah, of course. I'm excited to talk about the newest addition for the Buffalo Bills.
And look, Marcus doesn't live too far from Buffalo, attended 4 Bills games last year. So this should be not only a good opportunity for us to learn about Connor McGovern, but you're well acquainted with the Buffalo Bills, so you could talk about the fit as well. Where I want to start this conversation is, well, at the start of his career back in 2019, when the Dallas Cowboys made Connor McGovern the 90th overall pick, a third rounder. Mm-hmm. And so I always like to go back to then to understand what the expectations were for him entering that rookie season and kind of the thought process for his fit and his arc with the football team.
First of all, it was a shock that the Cowboys drafted him because they already had Connor Williams playing left guard. The rest of the offensive line was pretty settled. They didn't contact Connor McGovern at all during the draft process. They didn't go to his pro day. They didn't have a 30 visit with him. They didn't meet with him at the combine. It was a situation where they had such a high grade on him that when he fell to the third round, they had no choice but to take him. So it was a pretty surprising move. And then instantly he tears his pec and we don't see him as a rookie. And you're like, oh, okay, this isn't going to work, but he turned it around in Dallas.
Okay, well, that's good that he turned it around. I remember similar type thoughts when he was the pick. I mean, I thought like they were pretty set with the offensive line. Yeah. Fairly high pick, right? Third round pick. You kind of think that guy's going to be a starter for you. So let's talk about the journey of Connor McGovern. You already mentioned missed that rookie season with a torn pectoral injury. And then, if I understand correctly, he had kind of a setback during the season.
Yep.
That really kind of put him on the shelf. Then 2020 and 2021, he winds up starting like 6 games 1 year, 8 the other. So he gets some opportunity, but mostly reserve. And then was the Cowboys' primary starting left guard this past season, 15 starts. What can you tell us about the circumstances that led to him not starting really for those two seasons and then the opportunity that he was able to have this past year?
There just wasn't a spot available, right? Because in 2018, they drafted Connor Williams to be their left guard. And Connor Williams is a pretty decent player. We saw him get signed by the Dolphins last offseason, became one of the league's best centers. And then, of course, you have Zach Martin at right guard. So it's pretty hard to get on the field when you've got a future Hall of Famer and a second-round pick playing both guard spots. But by the 2021 season, it was pretty clear that him and Connor Williams were neck and neck. And halfway through the season, the Cowboys actually put Connor Williams on the bench in favor of Connor McGovern. That lasted a few games. McGovern didn't play particularly well. And then Zach Martin went down. Connor McGovern slid over to that right guard spot and played fairly well. Well enough that the Cowboys felt like, hey, we can go into the 2022 season without Connor Williams, have Connor McGovern. And he played well. He's not a Pro Bowler. He's never going to be that player, but well enough that he wasn't your weakest spot on the offensive line.
All right. So that's somewhat encouraging, but obviously the Bills paid this guy over $7 million a season, presumably to be the starting guard opposite of Ryan Bates. So it's time for the question I've been really looking forward to asking you. And that's, what are the Bills getting in Connor McGovern? I mean, what is the skill set like? And obviously, one of your other hats that you wear is with Pro Football Focus. And we can all see the grades where he grades very well as a pass blocker, not so much as a run blocker. Marcus, I spent my morning with Connor McGovern in this Dallas Cowboys offense, watched four games. And I feel like those grades line up with what my eyes told me watching four of those games this morning.
Not a power player. Let's just be clear. Like, if you want him to move guys in the run game and move guys off the ball, that's not what you're getting here. What you're getting is somebody who is incredibly smart. One of the smartest players that was on the roster last year, can play legitimately three different positions. He's athletic. He can move. What I'm most interested in, Joe, is I thought his tape at right guard was dramatically, I'm talking like significantly better than his tape at left guard. But because they had Zach Martin, he couldn't play that spot. But if you go back and watch his week one start against Tampa Bay in 2021, when Zach Martin missed that game, I thought he was incredible. So does Buffalo move him to right guard and move Ryan Bates around? I know Roger Saffold's a free agent right now and they have a hole at left guard, but if Buffalo wants the best version of Connor McGovern, I really think it's as a right guard.
Well, that's exciting news. And you think about Connor McGovern, because most of his time in college was at right guard for Penn State. And then obviously a lot of reps in the NFL at both left and right, but most of them coming on the left side. I didn't watch any of his right guard tape, but Ryan Bates has openly said he's most comfortable as a left side player. And obviously Bates and McGovern, part of that same Penn State offensive line back in the day. And so that could be a nice opportunity for the Bills to get Ryan Bates back in his most natural position. And then putting McGovern back where you say, he's been at his best at right guard.
And it just makes sense given his skill set, right? Because typically you want your left guard to be the people mover, right? Because a lot of times you run more of your power stuff to your left side. Your right side, you're going to get a lot of one-on-one blocking opportunities, and you want that guy to be athletic. And it's just where he's the most comfortable. We saw him start at center in week 18 last year, and it's fine. Like, it's not
awesome. Gets you out of a game.
It gets you out of a game, right? And honestly, I think that's one of the reasons he was so appealing to Buffalo. Is you have a guy that has starting experience at three different spots. You pay for the versatility. I can see why a team like Buffalo would value that, because he can give you solid play at three very important positions.
Now, can we tap into your Bills knowledge here? As you think about the Bills offense, and you know Connor McGovern, two things you know pretty well, how do you see this working? Do you like the fit?
Yeah, I actually like it better with Buffalo than I did Dallas, because Buffalo wants to play an up-tempo game. They want to be fast-paced, and I think that's where McGovern fits really well. Obviously, they don't run a lot of power stuff like Dallas does. It's way more spread. I think it does fit well. He also gets to kind of go back to the area. He's from Penn State, not too far away. I do think this makes a lot of sense for a team like Buffalo that needed to improve the interior of the offensive line.
It was one of my biggest takeaways watching him in that Dallas offense and being mindful of what he was asked to do, a lot of heavy formations, needing to move bodies out of the way. And I, of course, I watch the division games, right? I'm watching the Giants. I'm watching Philly. I want to see him against those guys, the Javon Hargraves, the Linval Josephs, Dexter Lawrence, right? Those are going to be great contests. And obviously the familiarity means a lot. But as I watch him play for the Dallas Cowboys, I thought, man, with the Bills spread concepts and how they like to run the football in a very different style, I thought he would translate a lot better to Buffalo than what he offered Dallas. And it's interesting, you and I haven't had any conversations about this, and we both came to some common ground there. Let's get into this. This is a question I always like to ask opposing hosts, or not opposing. We're not playing each other this week, but the other host. Why don't you think the Dallas Cowboys brought him back? Every team wants to draft, develop, re-sign, winds up being a starter. We look at Dallas going into these next few weeks, whether it's the next waves of free agency or the draft. I think Dallas needs a guard, so they let one go. So let's talk about why that happened. Well, why you think it did?
First of all, there's some financial stuff going on here, right? The Cowboys are paying Tyron Smith $13 million a year. Terrence Steele is eligible for a contract extension. Their right tackle, Zach Martin, is one of the highest paid guards in football. And you drafted a first round guard slash tackle in Tyler Smith. Like, you just can't pay every single offensive lineman. Oh, by the way, your center, Tyler Biadasz, up for a contract next year. So he was the one guy that was always going to get squeezed, right? And then I also think there's a philosophical difference. I think Mike McCarthy wants bigger guards, and that's why they drafted Tyler Smith in round one last year to play left guard. He had to slide out to tackle because of injuries, but they want the 325-pound guys that can move people off the ball, and that's just not Connor McGovern.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. We talked about the skill set. We talked about, you know, what went well, what didn't go well in Dallas, but obviously he's a human being. And so I want to ask you here as we kind of get out the door, any fun tidbits about the personality, off the field stuff, things that would be intriguing for Bills Mafia to know about Connor McGovern?
So starting in 2021, the Cowboys wanted to find a way to get Connor McGovern on the field because they felt like he worked really hard. They felt like he could be an asset to the offense, but there wasn't a spot available. So they created one. They made him the fullback in short yardage and even non-short yardage stuff, and he was awesome at it. I'm not exaggerating. He was probably the best fullback in the league when the Cowboys put him in that situation. They even ran routes with him a couple times, and it's awesome to watch. But if Buffalo wants to get creative and use him as a fullback or an H-back or an extra tight end, he legitimately has like 100 snaps of that kind of experience. So he loves doing it. I won't be surprised if Buffalo gets creative and uses him there.
That's fun. Kellen Moore certainly had his fun with Connor McGovern. The Bills had Bobby Hart doing a lot of that type of stuff this past year, of all people. But Marcus, I really appreciate you making yourself available to inform Bills Mafia more about their new guard, Connor McGovern. Listen, I know that we got some Diggs brothers. You got one. The Bills got one. Hopefully, for my sake, we're not talking about those two guys being on the same team anytime soon, but maybe you feel differently. Marcus, thanks for your time.
Yes, let's go Buffalo.
Coming up after the break, we're talking about Tyrell Dotson re-signing with the Bills and what I'm paying attention to next during the legal tampering period, and also a little bit of personal news. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. You've heard me talk all about this mobile game, and if you think you'd make a good GM, well, then you got to give this thing a try. When you play Ultimate Football GM, you get control and you get to manage every strategic aspect of your team as you play through seasons and try to build a historic dynasty. You guys know I love roster construction and team building, so this game has been really fun for me, and you should check it out. With Ultimate Football GM, you're responsible for controlling the destiny of your franchise by hiring coaches, managing the finances of your team. You got to negotiate player salaries and terms of deals. You have free agency, the draft, injuries, all the ups and downs of a season, all of this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Football GM is completely free, playable offline, on the go, as you want and when you want to. Locked On Bills listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using promo code Locked On in the game store. That's Locked On, so make sure to check it out today. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the app stores. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM, start your dynasty today. All right, folks, let's close this thing out by talking about Tyrell Dodson being re-signed. What I'm paying attention to next for the Bills and just the NFL in general. And of course, a little personal bit of information I want to share here to close things out. So Tyrell Dodson, Bills linebacker, re-signed to a one-year contract. As you know, he's a key special teamer, a depth player, a guy that has been part of the team for four seasons, has time on task with the defense, and is a four-phase special teamer that is entering his age 25 season. Actually, last year, he started three games on defense, played in 16 games, and logged 276 special team snaps. So a big part of not only the depth on defense, but the special teams. So, look, as the Bills bring back the likes of Tyrell Dodson and Tyler Matakevich and Cam Lewis, I would encourage you to fight the urgency to be annoyed, because I see this. I see a lot of fans commenting and saying, you know, these players don't move the needle. I'm sick of signing special teamers. Here's what's important. These moves do not preclude other moves. They're easier to get done, and you have to have these types of players on your roster. The Bills aren't signing Tyrell Dodson and not bringing back Tremaine Edmonds. They're not signing Tyrell Dodson and not trying to sign Bobby Wagner. These are just the types of players that you need to fill out the bottom of your roster. So having those types of players is a must, and familiarity with your depth players that have proven themselves on special teams is a good thing. These are minimum type contracts that do not preclude the Bills from making other moves. So maybe this isn't the exciting news that you want to hear. You're hopeful to hear about a exciting new weapon for the offense, or a safety or a linebacker or another good defensive lineman. Those things can still happen, and this doesn't mean they won't. These are players that you have to have too. For every Von Miller, there's a Cam Lewis. All right, maybe I should have said for every Trey White, there's a Cam Lewis. For every Micah Hyde, there's a Tyrell Dodson, right? You got to have these types of players too. So what am I paying attention to next year? Well, I'm really interested in the linebacker stuff. I know the Bills brought back Tyrell Dodson, and you like that for his experience in special teams, but he ain't going to replace Tremaine Edmonds. So I'm obviously very curious what's going to happen here. Since the last time we spoke, David Long signed with the Dolphins. Bobby Okereke signed with the Giants. Eric Kendricks is a Charger. So that list is kind of dwindling down. It's pretty much Bobby Wagner, and that's about it. There's other guys. Alex Anzalone went back to the Lions. Levante David's still out there, and there's been some reports that the Bills have at least contacted him. So I'm really interested to see what happens with the linebacker situation. The wide receiver market is really fascinating to me. It's moving slow. We really haven't seen much going on there. Jacoby Myers signed with the Raiders for a lot less than I thought he would. I think that wound up being $11 million a season. I thought he would push for 15. So, you know, this wide receiver market has moved really, really, really slow. And so I'm anxious to kind of see what happens there. The tight end market has been really fascinating to me. We've been seeing a lot of really tight end twos, blocking specialists signing for like fairly significant deals. This Josh Oliver deal really has me confused. And I think that you're seeing teams prioritize these tight ends because, well, first, they're cheaper than wide receivers, but also they allow you to get bigger people on the field and dictate matchups, right? If defenses are running base nickel, well, putting tight ends on the field forces them to be in potentially different personnel groupings, and you can dictate terms more. And so I think teams are starting to think more about using multiple tight ends. And we've seen some guys that, you know, aren't really sexy names, the guys that haven't had a ton of production, but are baseline skill sets that can block, and they're getting deals. So I'm anxious to see how that continues to unfold. Obviously, I'm interested in the Jordan Poyer situation. We've had some movement with the safety market, but not with Poyer. It looks like things might be a little slower there than anticipated. And you thought two destinations for him, because obviously he's really hyped up this state income tax thing. And, well, the Raiders signed Marcus Epps, so I wouldn't see them bringing in another safety. And that, you know, that's the Nevada team. And then you go to Florida, and Miami know, they signed David Long. They brought back their two running backs, Mostert and Wilson. They traded for Jalen Ramsey, who was quite a bit of cap commitment. And so you have to think they're going to probably prioritize their offensive line and tight end before they go back to get another defensive back. And so I'm not sure what that possibility is. I'm certainly not ruling it out. We know Poyer wants to go there, but it hasn't happened yet. And so maybe that market's just a little slower than anticipated. Running backs is also something I'm curious. Obviously, the Bills' Devin Singletary is the guy that's on the market. Interested to see what happens with him. Jamal Williams, you guys know what I think about him. Austin Eckler is available for trade. Seems like Derrick Henry's available for trade. And I really want to see how this all shakes out and, you know, what the Bills do. Are they in on these players? Are they trying to do anything here? Are they going to draft somebody in the middle rounds? What the Bills do at running back and what happens with those players is something really fascinating to me. Real quick, before we get out of here, I have a personal bit of information to share. I announced it on Twitter on Tuesday morning that I resigned from the Draft Network last week, actually. And so what does that mean? Well, it means nothing for Locked On Bills, folks. I am here. I'm not going anywhere. I love doing this. It just means I have more time for Locked On Bills. And so I'm really excited to give more of my time to this podcast and talking Buffalo Bills football for you here on this podcast. I'm also taking the Draft Dudes podcast that is now coming back to Locked On. And we're kind of rebranding. It's Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes. So it's me and Kyle Krabs. Kyle, you guys know him. My best friend, also host of the Locked On Dolphins podcast. We're continuing our podcasting efforts in an expanded role with Locked On. And like I said, the show's called Locked On NFL Scouting. And we're really going to talk team building, roster construction, life cycles of teams, and really get into the weeds with the entire scope of team building in the NFL. And so we're still going to talk draft, but it'll be more from the NFL down to the prospects as opposed to the prospects up to the league, but also just really getting into life cycles and the strategy of building a winning team. And so that's going to be really fun. Don't miss it. Our plan is to drop our first episode of that show Wednesday morning-ish. We're going to record Wednesday morning and we're going to post it. So make sure that you check that out. We're free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. If you're already a Draft Dude subscriber, well, you're in luck. It's the same feed. So stay with us. If you weren't and you want to check us out, it's Locked On NFL Scouting. And you can find it, like I said, free and available on all platforms. All right, folks, that's it for us today. We're keeping our head on a swivel here as the news comes in fast, and we'll react to it all here on the podcast. So we'll see what tomorrow brings. But one way or another, we're talking Bills football here on the Locked On Bills podcast. Make sure that you're subscribed. We would love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share the podcast. Have a great rest of your day. I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.